This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
2017 is going to be a volatile economic year. We may see politicians throughout the world attempting to control central bank policies. Several renowned financial analysts have warned that political interference in central bank policies may mean our economic misses of inflation and growth targets. Gold is an international currency that can't be issued or controlled by governments. If you don't have the only hard currency that has outlasted every politician and every failed idea of governments for centuries, you need to speak to Goldline right now and learn how easy it is to add gold to your portfolio or IRA. Now is the time to diversify your financial portfolio by adding gold. Call 1-800-913-GOLD. Buying real gold is easy and fast at Goldline. And you're going to be happy that you finally made the call. 1-800-913-4653. Goldline also offers price protection against short-term market fluctuations on qualifying purchases. So buy with confidence. Read Goldline's important risk information and find out if buying gold is right for you. Call Goldline 1-800-913-4653.
Glenn Beck,
The Blaze Radio Network.
Dr. Michael Yosef, he is the author of the new book, The Barbarians Are Here. And Doctor, I want to talk to you from the perspective of somebody who says they really care, as do I, about the refugees and getting the right refugees out of a war-torn country.
But sure, that's... Glenn. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate that.
Sure.
I want you to know, and I want all your audience to know that I love everybody, and I have no hatred in my heart toward anybody. Having said that, that is part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, we, as a ministry, we have a television station 24/7 going into $160 million homes in the Middle East and the Arab world, preaching the gospel called Kingdom Set. So we are there doing everything we can to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've seen a lot of people come to Christ. Let me first talk about as an immigrant myself. You see, I immigrated to this country many years ago, but I had to provide all kinds of information. I had to be examined by the embassy doctor. I had to provide tax information that I don't owe the government tax, that I have good police records. And I came here, and I love this country. I am grateful. Every single morning, I'm thankful to God that I live in this country. So there's nothing wrong. This country have always loved immigrants. But when you say we want to take the refugees without any vetting, without any interviews, except by blinded United Nations officials who are really very biased. They're biased against Christians. We've seen it firsthand on the Jordanian side, on the Lebanese side. And so what we're saying is we're going to let the terrorists come in. And here's the problem. Islamists always somehow got in cohort with the leftists in order to accomplish their purpose. They, in a sense, consider them to be a useful idiots. And sadly, if we've seen recently the feminist movement that is being protesting as recently as yesterday and then the day after the inauguration, who was leading it? Linda Sarsour. Linda Sarsour is a woman who wants to bring the Sharia law to America. And just think about this. I want to scream and say to these women, do you know what Sharia law says about women? You're half of a man. You inherit half of what your brother would inherit. In the court of law, you're considered to be half of a man. You can be beaten by your husband or your father. And
she'll
you
say she doesn't want any of that.
Pardon?
She'll say that's not what Sharia law means to her. She doesn't want any of that.
Well, I mean, she can't pick and choose. That's what the Sharia is. You look at Saudi Arabia and see the way they apply the Sharia, literally chopping the hands of somebody who might be a petty thief, and left hand first, then the right hand. You see people maimed everywhere in Saudi Arabia. And so, I mean, she can't really pick and choose. That's what Sharia is. That's what the Quran says. That's what all these teachers on the satellite channels, the Muslim Islamist satellite channels, they're actually showing the young men the length of the stick by which they can beat their wives and their daughters. I mean, I've seen it. I actually screened it to my congregation to just wake them up to the fact that these people mean business. And their ultimate goal is to dominate the West and take over. They feel that they failed twice, back in the 700s, then the 1400s, to take over Europe. Now this is their final third jihad, and they're going to do it by birthright, and they're going to do it by financial investments.
Now, you say in Chapter 3, you talk about Germany and New Year's Eve.
Yep. And
you say the barbarians are already here. You can see what the migration of undocumented or at least poorly screened immigrants are doing to Europe, and yet still the media over in Europe still is not awake.
I know. This is a blindness of biblical proportion. I mean, almost they got a blinder. An iconic picture that I saw that really told the whole story. These young bearded men from the Middle East in a German train coming out of the station shouting, Allahu Akbar, means Allah greater, and this, which is the cry of jihad, the cry of war. And these sweet German ladies holding this placard that says, welcome refugees. I mean, I said, this said it all. We're not really shooting ourselves in the foot. We're shooting ourselves in the head. And we're saying, hey, come on in. Destroy us. Take over. We're so blind as to who you are and what your ideology is, and it doesn't matter. I often wonder sometimes if these folks really just hate America. I mean, I think of people like Soros and so forth. I mean, I just wonder. I don't want to accuse anybody of anything, but it makes me wonder, why wouldn't that allow the government to vet people before they come into this country? Why they don't give them time in order to... It took me 2 years to immigrate. What? Oh, actually more than that. So what? That's fine. I think every country has the right to determine the criterion by which they accept people to come in.
You talk about some solutions and some things that we have to do, but about halfway through the book, you talk about the pattern of Babylon and that we have been saved over and over again. But you, if I may quote, again and again, God has defended Western civilization from attack from barbarian slave merchants, totalitarianism, genocidal racists, segregationists. But instead of thanking God for his mercy and protection, we have now taken all the credit for those victories. Instead of giving God glory, we give credit to secularism, materialism, multiculturalism, pluralism, political correctness, feminism, the welfare state, moral relativism, progressivism, environmentalism, atheism, humanism.
Yeah, that is exactly what, in fact, I refer to these Christians who turned their back on the Christian faith or had Christian heritage and turned their back on the Christian faith. They're equally barbarians too, because it was turning away from the Christian faith first in Europe, now it's happening here, is the very thing that has created that vacuum in society. And the vacuum has got to be filled, and it is filled by the Islamists who are coming in with pure ideology. It's very simple. Allah spoken, and therefore he must be obeyed, and we have to do it if we kill or impose jizya, which is a form of high taxation on Christians and Jews, in order to make Islam dominant. You see, that is... And that happens every time, and you see it in Israel, when the prophet Jeremiah, who literally pleaded with them, turn back to God, turn back, stop worshiping Baal, stop worshiping false God. They wouldn't do it. Finally, God said, okay, God is not capricious. He's going to say, oh, I'm going to sock it to you. He said, no, I'm just going to take my hand of protection off and leave you to the consequences of your choices. And so the Babylonians, the terrorists of their day, came over and ransacked Jerusalem and took hostages for 70 years. It happened again in Rome when Rome fell. Rome fell because of similar things that are happening for our day. But what happened, the pagans blamed the Christians for it. And so St. Augustine sat down, wrote a book, and that's really the book that influenced me the most, The City of God. And I began to see things from that perspective where he literally maps out biblical history to the point when Rome fell. And I'm seeing that pattern almost repeated, and that's what I talk about in the book. And the only answer, the only solution, the only hope is for God's people to stop being compromisers and stand up for the truth and stand up for their faith and stop watering it down and preaching a false gospel.
Give me the pattern. Give me the pattern from City of God.
Well, what St. Augustine did, and again, I say that in the book, he influenced me greatly, so I'm, you know, this is not all original with me.
Right.
He begins back in the Garden of Eden, and he starts from there, and then he shows historically a two strain, if you like, of humanities. One who are pursuing what he calls the city of man, that is secular humanism to the core, and the other who were pursuing the city of God. For example, Abraham. The Bible said Abraham looked forward to that city which is built by God, whose architect is God and built by God. Even back then, he was looking forward to the city of God. So there is a godly line from Enoch all the way to Abraham and down to even Lot, even though he lived in such a miserable place. Peter said that he was literally torturing himself by living in that kind of a sinful environment. But you go all the way down through, and then God remembers his people when they were in slavery in Egypt, and he sends them a deliverer, and Moses comes in, and he delivers them from the horrors of the whips of the Egyptians, and he takes them out, and there in the book of Deuteronomy, toward the end of it, he says, look, I'm sending you to the promised land. I promised that land to your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I'm going to send you there. But here's the temptation. You're going to be facing it. You're going to face the temptation to turn against me and worship other gods. And if that happens, my judgment is going to be, it's going to follow. And sure enough, they go into the promised land, and what happens? They start worshiping Ashtar and Baal and Ashtaroth and so forth. And God says, okay. I'm going to take my hand.
So I just saw a study from Barna, who does research on...
Yes, I know George very well.
Okay, so you know, if you saw his latest, that we say that America now has a 49% biblical worldview, meaning that 49% of the people view truth and right and wrong and how they just view the world through the truths in the Bible. It's only 49%. However, he did something new, and he attached morals and principles to it.
Yes.
So he asked, do you believe in Noah? Do you believe in Moses? Do you believe in the Ten Commandments? Instead of just that, the other half was, hey, do you think it's okay to steal? Do you think? And he found that actually that number is 15% biblical worldview. So how do you save it if that's true?
Well, here's the core of the problem. So many evangelical pastors who started well because and for the sake of popularity, they started kind of watering down the message. One pastor said, well, I believe in the virgin birth, but you don't have to. I believe in Noah, but you don't have to. I believe in Jonah, but you don't have to. Okay, what you've done, you just basically disintegrated or you destroyed the integrity of Jesus. If you believe that he is a triune God, lived was there before the foundation of the world, and together with the Father and the Son created the world, and so therefore he was there. And then in his earthly life, he talked about Jonah and he talked about Noah. And of course, we know about his virgin birth. That has to be in order for him to be divine. Otherwise, if he was born of a seed of a man, just like all of us, then he cannot be the sin bearer. He cannot take away our sin. So all of that and my appeal to these preachers who have sold out and their birthright for a pot of soup, return to God. Return to God now, because you're misleading a lot of people. And in misleading them, you have created this 15%, and that is one of the saddest things, I think, that I've seen. In fact, Bono also said 64% of those who call themselves born-again evangelicals, that they believe there are many ways to God. Give me a break. The word evangelical comes from the Greek word oangelion, which means the gospel, namely that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That is the very core of what they call themselves, and yet they are denying by their very practice what they claim to be entitled.
Dr. Michael Youssef, thank you so much for being on the program. The name of the book is The Barbarians Are Here, Preventing the Collapse of Western Civilization in Times of Terrorism.
Glenn Beck, The Blaze Radio Network.
Are you as excited about your kids being online on the internet as I am? I feel like I'm always playing catch up with the latest apps and sites that my kids have access to. All the good and all the bad is always there, but I'm not always there. That's why I want to tell you about Hero Parental Control. Hero is a high-tech tool that helps you stay ahead of the game. Activity from all of your family's devices can be filtered, monitored, and even tracked via GPS from one easy dashboard that you have. You can adjust all your filters. Material that might be healthy for a teen can be harmful to a young child. It works on all of your devices, including your mobile. It's easy to set up, intuitive to use, and it stays up to date with ever-changing technology. It's going to make the internet in your house appropriate by your standards, not what society says. So enjoy the good and block the bad. Go to blazehero.com. That's blazehero.com.